Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you as we have this pioneering heart to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
So we're going to carry on this morning, and that's the letter to the Philippian church. I'm going to be reading this morning from, you can turn this along, and it's from 1 Philippians 22 to 30 and 2 Philippians 1, 22. So it's a letter that's been written to the church at Philippi. But I believe inasmuch as it's a letter written to that church, in Philippi, in the Philippian church, it is a letter that is addressed to us today, the body of Christ. Inasmuch as it was for them then, this letter it's for us today. Paul is writing it for us, for all of us here at Seaway, and for everybody that's joined through YouTube this morning, this letter is for you this morning. And I've entitled my message that you've got mail. You've got mail. So Paul writes this letter while he's in prison in Rome. So we see that the Philippian church, it was a small church that was set in Europe. And we see that Paul was only in Philippi for a couple of weeks, actually a couple of days. He was only there for a short while. But in that short while that he was there, he left behind the first colony of heaven in Europe. I know some of the writers call it the first colony of heaven. It could be, some people would say the first church in Europe, but I like that, the first colony of heaven in Europe. It was around AD 52 that they set this church up. So, yeah, let's read the scripture. Let's go to Philippians 1, 22, 30, and it's about the conduct of the church. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all, for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. So we see that Paul finds himself in prison. So I want to turn this around this morning. What if you ended up in Chuki? Yeah, I know we say that here in South Africa. What if you ended up in Chuki? What if you ended up in prison? Now you were in Paul's shoes and you find yourself in this place. I know we'd all react differently. I'm sure we'd act completely differently to the way Paul reacted in this letter. Oh, woe is me. My world has just fallen apart. No Netflix. I love the blankets. Oh, Lord, no Sealy. I haven't got a proper bed to lie on. No lights. No steak, egg and chips, bread, water and beans. What would your reaction? I thought about it yesterday. What would my reaction? What would your reaction be in that place? So let's go back to Paul. So he says to go on living physically. So what would the benefits of that be? It would be fruitful labor for Paul, and it would be of much benefit to the Philippian church to help them towards their progress in faith and increase their joy in Christ Jesus. If Paul was to die physically, what would the benefits of that be? It would be of great benefit to Paul, yes, because he would be with Jesus. This would be of great advantage to him, but to him personally, but not to the church. So read that he's torn between the two, and I don't think that Paul actually gets to choose. He comes to the conclusion that his life would be more beneficial to all the believers that God has connected him with in that time. He senses also that he will not be executed, but that God will deliver him and continue with the church. Joy in faith and joy in Christ Jesus. I know many people see the Christian life as boring and this enduring chug, but it's not. It's not like that. It can be that, but it's not. You know, when we are connected to Jesus and we're in that special place of intimacy with him, it's not like that. It's as Paul says it is. Joy in faith, joy in Christ. And I think the problem, where the problem arises for many of us, we isolate ourselves. You know, when you find yourself in that place of isolation, things can become tough. You get depressed. And you see the world obscured, not the way Jesus wants you to see it. And that's why he hasn't called us to be lone rangers. And Paul knew the value of that. Even while he was in prison, he reached out to the church. He knew the value of family, of the brotherhood, of the church, of the body. When we go through difficult times, as Paul found himself in prison, he didn't wallow in that place, but he reached out to the church. When you are going through difficult times, and we are all going to go through difficult times, there are seasons in our lives. But that's where we need to reach out to the body of Christ, to our brothers and sisters. And it's where the church needs to reach out to those that are in need and to those that are going through tough times. When you see your brother and sister going through difficult times, what do? Let's not point fingers. Let's not judge them. But let's reach out. Let's lift them up. Let's encourage them. Paul did that from prison. He knew the strength and the value of community. So he reaches out and the church rallies around him. They supported him physically and financially. And that's what the body of Christ does. We encourage through difficult times. I know that when we go through those things and we find ourselves in those dark places and the valley is just so deep, maybe we cry out sometimes, Lord, just take me home. Ek is no klaar, I'm done, I'm finished. No, no. Let's look at it the right way. And I want to encourage you with that this morning. When you go through things like that, go back to when Paul was in prison and look with the right eyes. Paul was isolated, but he didn't isolate himself. that's not always going to be Rolls Royce, rum steak, and champagne. Things are going to get tough. The only way I know how to say it, and you'd understand that being a South African. Yes, it's going to get tough. We're going to go through difficult times in our lives, even like with COVID. We've been isolated. Many have lost their jobs. It's been difficult. We've gone through a difficult season in our lives. But don't look at it like that. Turn and look to Jesus. Look what he says in the word. Look what happened to Paul. Joy in Christ Jesus. Joy. Let's read on further. Verse 27 to 28. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And do not be frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of the salvation, and that from God. So what is he saying here? Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a worthy manner, worthy of the gospel. He says, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Unity, one vision, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. What is he saying? Live your life. Run your race. Live your life. Run your race. When people look at our lives, our way of living, now I want to ask you this morning, does it add value to the message of the gospel? Or does it turn people away? And it's often been said here behind the pulpit, we are the books that they are going to read. You are the book that everybody is going to read out there. I want us to turn to Ephesians 4, verse 1. You all there? I, therefore, a prisoner from the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Live your life. Live your life. Run your race. You're going to have opposition, and things are going to come your way. Paul focuses on three behaviors. And the first one is unity of the spirit. The second, it's courage in the face of your opponents. The third is contending for the faith of the good news. And I was thinking, one of the reasons why we don't witness is because of fear. Yeah? The fear of man. We're too scared to get out there and to witness and to testify of Jesus because of fear and what everybody's going to think, or what are they going to say about me? What are they going to do to me? Paul says, contend for the faith without being frightened by those who will oppose you. I want to say to you this morning, What does the word say? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Christ is great in you, and he is your strength, and he is your everything at that opportune time. So I want to encourage you. It's a season that God's calling us to go out and to minister. And yes, you will have opposition. But know today that Jesus is with you and you will overcome as Paul did. I'd like us to turn to Matthew 5 and we're going to read from verse 10 through to 12. And the word of God says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you and falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. There will be opposition. But Paul counts it a privilege to suffer for Christ. I want to read on Philippians 1, verse 29 to 30 again. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him also, but suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now you that I still have. Again, Paul counts it a privilege to suffer for Christ. And God is wanting to pour out courage. I believe that with all my heart. God is wanting to pour out courage, the same courage that Paul had. He wants to pour that out into us here this morning and upon Seaway. That we will not be afraid to identify ourselves with Jesus. That's among our friends, family, in the public space. We need to be willing to enter that space and count ourselves as true disciples. So I want to ask you this morning, are you going to have the courage and boldness that Paul had? Speak regardless. If we go back to back to chapter 1, verse 21, where Paul says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He had nothing to lose. And we'll get back to a little bit of that just now. He had nothing to lose. Paul took advantage of the place he was in. He did not let that place take advantage of him. So when the Lord sends you out to minister, don't let everything that you see going on around you take advantage of you. You take advantage of that space. If you're in a difficult place, you're going through difficult times, don't let those difficult times take advantage of you. You take advantage of that. Overcome. And that's Paul's message to us. He didn't let the difficult times in prisons consume him. Let's go on to Philippians 2, verse 1 to 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. So the Philippian church, the people that were going through difficult times and they weren't all on the same page, things were awry. And that's why Paul was sharing that with them. So verse 1 was appeal to Christ's blessings. Verse 2 was a call to unity. So I want to ask you this morning, are you, are we, am I experiencing these blessings from God that we just read? Are we experiencing those things? Are those things alive in me? If not, why? Then we need to search our hearts. He wanted the Philippian church to rise out of that place that we're in and to experience those things, the blessings of God in their lives. He wanted them to experience it because they belonged to Christ and they were in Christ. I just want to get back to where Paul often mentions through the word, in Christ, in Christ. And I know that that when we minister and we read the word, we say that Jesus is in us, Jesus is in me. But Paul is saying you're in Christ. So we tend to talk about Christ being in us. But in this letter, Paul writes about being in Christ. Why? Because Christ is the greater one. And Paul is found in him. So yes, Jesus is in me. And he's alive in me. But when I've allowed him to be king in my life, when he is number one in my life, and I have surrendered to him, and he is in charge of everything in my life, what I say, what I do, what I think, as with Paul, I find myself in Christ. That phrase, just interesting, is used over 170 times in the New Testament. 170 times. So let's get back to the blessings that Paul was talking about. So the first one is encouragement. What is encouragement? It's lifting other spirits. It's strengthening, comfort. What is comfort? It's knowing that you're truly loved by God. When I know that I'm truly loved by God, I have that comfort, that sense of comfort. He talks about being united with Christ. United individually, united corporately is the body of Christ in him. If we are not united, what do we have? So what is the meaning of united? United means together, no? So if it's not together, if we're not united, what is it? Divided. Division, divided, it's pieces, like a puzzle. It's a box of pieces. So when we're united and we stand strong together, that's when we have the greater picture of what Jesus is doing and is what he's wanting to do with us. Fellowship. We are called into fellowship with one another. We are called into fellowship with Jesus. And now, in my early, when I growing up as a young Christian, I was always taught that fellowship being two fellows in one ship, in one boat, Jesus and you. And is he rowing your boat? Are you rowing that boat? tenderness. What is tenderness? It's compassion. It's heart. It's the source of love and mercy. Yeah? Compassion. What is compassion? It's concern for others that are going through difficult times. It's gentleness. And I've left this one to last, as did Paul, where he talks about humility. And you know what? This is key. Humility. Humility, humility. It encompasses all of these. And that only comes from Jesus. So all these things, the blessings that he was talking about, it's an outward expression of all the inward parts. These are all inward things that I spoke to you about now. It's not something that I can come and stick on the outside and apply on the outside and think it's going to work in my life. It's not. I can't just come and stick it on all. Okay, now I need humility, whatever, and pluck it on. I think I'm going to walk in humility. I'm going to be humble. No, I'm not. These are things that live on the inside of us, Christians. Can we call them fruits? Yeah? It's the inward nature. And all these things should happen automatically. Yeah. And that's what he was trying to tell the Philippian church. Hey, guys, look what's going on. But actually, this needs to be evident in your life. So I want to ask you this morning, are these things evident in your walk with Jesus? Are they evident in your life? Is that coming out? Is that your expression? Philippians 2:2. We are all different, every one of us, yeah. We're very different. We're going to see things differently. We're going to all have different opinions, yeah. As with the Philippian church, they all have different opinions. But Paul was calling them to a place of humility. And when I've got humility, when I'm walking in humility, there's no place for selfishness. I'm selfless. When I'm walking in humility, I'm able to lay down all my own agendas. And that's key. Because that's where Christ's agenda reigns in my life. Not so? Paul is telling the church to get their hearts right with Christ and each other. So what happens when we are in one in spirit, when we are united? Our purpose, our mind, love, and spirit will all be the same. We'll be in tune with Jesus, Holy Spirit, and we'll begin to see the fruit of all the above. I want to read Colossians 3 verse 12 for us this morning. Let's all turn there. Colossians 3 verse 12. And the word says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Sure? Let's turn to John 3, verse 29. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. As with Paul, we need to choose to rejoice no matter what we're going through. our race and our lives need to express the joy and the fullness of Jesus Christ. Paul put on Christ, Christ in me. I ask you this morning, what has replaced Christ's rightful place in your life? Is there anything that has replaced Christ's rightful place in your life? So that's what I would like to leave with you this morning. Stand strong. And let your walk, let your race be one of joy in Christ. And let the blessings that he talks about be evident in your life. United to our Lord Jesus Christ like never before, and working together as one body and one family in him. And when we do that, when we stand together in all those things, that's where we'll see the big picture and the picture of everything that Jesus has for all of us here on this earth. So be encouraged this morning. Let's be witnesses for Jesus, regardless of what you think is going to happen, what everybody's going to say. Know that Jesus is greater in you. Paul knew that. And know today that you're in him. And let him be on the throne in your life. Let him be king and let him be number one. Amen? Amen. Rory, can I pray for you? Amen. I'll ask you to stand. Thank you. God, ask us all to stand. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for Rory. And Father, he's been through much. He's been through much. And Lord, there have been many rocks along his path. But Father, I thank you today that you're calling Rory into a place of victory with you. That you're calling Rory this morning into a place of intimacy with you. So Father, I pray the move of your spirit upon Rory's life like never before. Your revival fire to rest upon him and to saturate him like never before. And Father, even where the devil try to saturate and try to take his life, Father, I thank you today that you're saturating Rory with life. With life, Father. That the fire of your spirit, Father, would be so evident in his life and in his walk and in his season in this time now in Jesus' name. Father, we declare it over his life today in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that Rory is covered and is washed by the blood of Jesus. That again, you're calling him into a place of intimacy with you, Father. That you have much for him. So, Father, we declare life over this young man today in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray your anointing upon him, that anointing that breaks and destroys every yoke, and that you've set him free this morning to follow you, Father, and to run the race and to do accordingly exactly what you're asking him to do in this season in Jesus' name. Rory, be blessed and be encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. God bless you.